Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the TE Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host, and what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about. Anything from new business, new construction, new renovation, or anything in between that really helps Lafayette shine for those outside of our community. This is The Tea, and I have Laurel and Rodney Hess with Rally Marketing and Hamper. Chances are you have no idea what Hamper is, but you're about to find out today. So I guess I want to kind of give you guys kind of the floor for a second. Just kind of tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
Yes, so... at Rally Marketing, Laurel is the president. I'm the vice president, so we kind of run it together. We're really just a full-service online marketing agency. We have a team of about, 11 mm-hmm. people?
That's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a decent-sized team for sure.
It's nice to be able to say we have one person doing SEO and right. one person doing, content. So we can really hone in on things.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Got started with that about 2 years ago, probably.
We're in our third year.
In our third year now. Saw some really good growth, really having a good time. And, being a married couple, we pretty much just see each other all day, every day now.
So, obviously, you guys work in the same office.
Yes.
Yeah. I can see him from my office.
Yeah.
Keep tabs.
Exactly.
So, what made you guys want to start Rally Marketing? Like, what was the thought process behind that?
Actually, we didn't... It kind of happened to us weirdly backwards. There were Comet developers and Wide Web Marketing are a web development company. They had marketing departments. They're actually owned by the same people. And their marketing departments started growing to the point where they felt like they could probably spin it out into a separate company. Because not that they were competing, but it sort of made sense at the time. We have all this talent. Why don't we pool it together? So they spun off their marketing departments into another company. And at the time, I was winding down my own marketing company, and they asked me to run Rally. So I did, and I came over, and a month later, I was like, we need Rodney too. And that's how he came on board, and we became Rally, probably a month after that.
Yeah.
What were you before you were winding down another marketing?
Yeah, I was working at an agency, and I left to do some freelance work, and I had a separate company called Regroup Marketing. And at the time, I was I had done that for a couple months, and I was looking for the next thing for me to do, and the timing just aligned perfectly to take over Rally at the time.
Okay. So Rally was something created before you come in?
Sort of all at the same time. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
So Jared Allardyce is one of the owners of Wide Web Marketing, and he and I knew each other, and he knew that I was doing Regroup, and they were having these conversations about the marketing departments becoming their own agency, and he asked me if I would be interested in kind of folding Regroup into this other agency and running it, and I said yes.
So you're the president
yes.
of Rally, and what are you?
I'm the vice president.
The vice president?
It's the only way this can work.
Absolutely. I'm very much the big picture strategy type person. She handles... the
everything else.
Money side of things, the people side of things.
Details.
The details, exactly.
That's women.
Yeah.
Details. Mm-hmm. Guys are just like, eh. Well, most guys, I'm like that. I want to build stuff and like do stuff. And, my wife, she's very like, oh, we need to have this done. And she's kind of giving me like direction. And I'm like, she's like, whenever I ask you to do something, why don't you just do it? I'm like, she goes, all you say is in a minute. I'm like, because I'm going to do it in a minute. Like,
yeah.
Goes, give me a couple minutes.
Our whole marriage is based on note writing.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
here's
absolutely.
Your list. This is your list for the day, the week, the whatever. I've made lists for him for 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good if that works.
Hey, it works. We're fine. We're still together.
My wife, she'll text me to remind me, hey, like, make sure you do such and such. I'm like, all right, get that done.
I literally this morning, I was like, he was taking the little one to school, and I was like, does he have socks and shoes on? And he's like, really? You think I'm going to take him to school without socks and shoes on? I'm like,
you never know.
You never know.
It's like any time I step out the door, phone, keys, wallet, it's the three things she always asks me. Typically, I have all of them.
So you said this is going on 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So what type of things
has Rally done for the community? Like, is there certain things that you guys have been kind of either spearheaded or created kind of from the marketing company?
Yeah, we're extremely, everyone that works at Rally is so passionate about continuing education and Lafayette in general. I'm gonna let you, this is really your baby on the...
Yeah, you know, I got involved with Social Media Breakfast, you know, a couple years back with a few guys who were putting it on. Over time, they kind of started to just kind of fall off, and so I kind of just took a hold and spearheaded it. I really, you know, it's only been within the past few years that I've recently really have gotten involved and loved getting involved with my community. And Social Media Breakfast kind of started that a little bit, where I kind of took on that, and now, you know, we pay to boost ads to get it out in front of people every month now. We host it every month, and within the past two or three times, Social Media Breakfast has really exploded to this huge thing. So like Laurel said, continuing education is huge for us. You know, we don't just do that. We also, for the past 2 years, have been doing Social Media Day, which is a free event. This year is going to be our second year, where we gather speakers and people in the community to come together and just have a full day of classes where they just learn about marketing. This will be the third year that it's done. This will be our second year. And then we're also starting another event that's kind of the antithesis to Social Media Breakfast, because not everybody likes getting up at 7:30 in the morning to come hear about marketing. So we're starting an evening social that's kind of marketing over drinks called Buzzwords, where it's going to be something similar. Buzzwords, okay. Where we're going to encourage. It's going to be at Dat Dog in the back where the platform is.
Yep.
So we're going to have drinks, we're going to have food, and just free information, free marketing advice for whoever wants to come. Yep.
First one's on March 19th.
March 19th is March the first 19th. One. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Okay, and when is that? What time will it start? You said evening, so that's 5-ish, 6-ish?
We're looking to start at 5:30, and the first 30, 45 minutes are just going to kind of be a hangout social event, and the final 45 minutes are going to be just a presentation that either someone from Rally Marketing or anybody else who wants to present can get up there and give some good information to people.
And you know, what's cool is that for those people watching, because it's funny, on the last few podcasts, I staggered them. Of course, I've had marketing companies. I've had Matthew Aarons, I think it's now Clout9, and I have you guys, and I have Jackie Russo in a couple weeks, in a couple weeks, March 8th. And so I'm like, why do I have marketing companies on my podcast so much? And partly because I feel like I have a marketing kind of like brain, and so I align with that, and I have to kind of tell myself, oh, I need to like find guests who are not marketing. Mm-hmm. So like I have a few that I'm lining up. But so the Social Media Breakfast and everything that you guys do, it's not an advertising platform for Rally Marketing, because I've gone to a couple, at least one of the Social Media Breakfasts. I wish I could make more, and I plan on making more. Mm-hmm. But I never heard from you, oh, by the way, Rally Marketing can do this for you or do that for you. You may give examples from what you've done at Rally Marketing, but you don't ever go like, oh, by the way, here's my card if you need services, which I think is great, because it doesn't come across as disingenuous, like you're trying to get business. Right. You're really just, you're trying to help the community, and, you know, in a sense, if you want to use this word development, like, because I'm developing Lafayette, it's like you're developing the community to be better at what they do. And social media, I mean, social media was a thing that you needed 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's just now people in Lafayette are realizing, oh, I need to have it. And I'm like, yes, you do. Because one, as what I do, I look at Facebook pages and social media accounts all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, on Instagram, I'll go and look at who's started following me. And randomly, I'll see this company name. I'm like, who is this? Like, I don't recognize this. And I'll click on it and like, they have zero followers, and they're following me, and I'm like, okay, obviously it's a new account.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, where are they from? I look, and if they're from Lafayette, I'm like, is this a new business? And I actually found out about new businesses. I just went and took a picture of one before I came here, and I'll kind of give a little bit of what it's about. It's an indoor kids play area.
What?
So it's kind of cool. I mean, I know we have places that offer indoor kids play areas. Uh-huh. Sky Zone and Elevation Station, those places are great. You can break a leg or two there.
Yep.
But this place, it reminds me of, and you guys may remember this, of the old school playgrounds at like your fast food restaurants, like the ball pit.
Yes.
The ball pit is a big deal when I was a kid. And we would dive into the ball pit to go to the bottom, and it's so nasty, but but we did. And they're going to have a ball pit there, which is kind of cool.
Like a new discovery zone almost?
I guess so.
I love that. Because sometimes when it's raining and we have nowhere to take the kids, we'll go to the mall and like that play area, because they're kind of outgrowing it.
Yeah, so and that play area, is. I don't know how often it's cleaned.
Right.
You got to clean it.
It makes their immune system stronger.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. but yeah, so, you know, using social media, I find out about new businesses all the time, and I encourage people. And if I find out about a new like brick and mortar business that doesn't have a Facebook page, I let them know in my post. By the way, I wish I would have known more, but I can't find a social media account for you. So this is what I have. I have an address. I have your name, and that's all I know. So I'm telling people about your company, and that's all they know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a social media account will pop up for them. I'm like, too late. You should have had it now.
Yeah.
Because I could have gotten you some eyeballs. I could have gotten you some likes. And when they do have a new account, I'm thankful, because I'm like, I tag them. And I think one downtown, the Delicatessen that I posted about, I don't know if you've heard about it.
Mm-mm.
So it's a speakeasy Delicatessen that's going right next to Juliet, or in the same building.
Oh, cool.
So I was working with him. His, blanking out on his name, but he's from New Orleans, and he loves that kind of like downtown, like speakeasy feel. Mm-hmm. So he's bringing that to Lafayette.
Cool.
And I was working with him, and he said, hey, by the way, here's my Facebook pages. Tag him. And he had zero at the time whenever I posted it. And now he has like close to 200 or 300 likes just from like the same week that I posted it.
Lot of that is why we like to educate. I think some people might be confused. Like, why are you putting all this time and energy into educating people, but you're not asking for anything in return? It's not a sales opportunity for us. But the more people understand about social media and digital marketing, the easier it is for us to do our jobs.
Yeah.
Right.
And we don't have to overcome that barrier of this is why you need to do it. You know, now people just know they should be doing it. So
one of the reasons that I just love being in this industry so much is being able to help other people be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, the social media breakfast, buzzword, social media day, it's all just an extension of that. You know, I'm educating people and helping people is a real passion of mine. So I get to do what I love. So why not extend that out and offer it up to everybody, not just people who walk through our doors?
Right.
Yeah.
So we could probably talk about social media all day long, because we're social media people. But you guys, just past Friday, had your second annual Crew to Kenai.
That's right.
Walking parade. Tell us a little bit about that and how that got started.
So that started with the Clandestine Creative Group, which... wearing their shirt now.
Is it Collective?
Collective, thank you. Yeah. Clandestine Collective. They put a post out on Facebook after Mardi Gras about 3 years ago, just kind of saying, you know, who wants to get involved in starting something new for Mardi Gras? And I jumped at the opportunity because I was starting to, you know, want to become involved in something else. And so I jumped at the opportunity. A few other people also jumped at it. And so we came together. And the first year we did it, we got a good bit of funding from the 24-Hour Citizen Project.
Okay.
We went and we pitched the idea to a group of investors, and they liked it, so they funded us. It was actually the same year that Ryan Cazares and the MyBerry won the 24-Hour Citizen Project as well. And so we had our first parade last year. It's a walking parade, so there are no floats except for things that can be pulled by people or bicycles. We wanted to make sure that there were no barricades and that the people on the street, you know, we're on the same level as the people marching, and that they could interact with each other. So we had our first year last year. It went really well. It was a little shorter than we wanted, so we expanded this year. We added more people marching, and it was a great success. I'm still sore from walking for 2 hours.
Oh my goodness. Well, the pictures that I see, it looks like a fun time. Last year, some of the pictures that I remember seeing, wasn't it Red Laurel was the character?
Rob Perillo.
Yeah, Rob Perillo. And then the the main thing that kept sticking out to me, and I think you were wearing one of the outfits, was Popeyes, like the whole Popeyes theme.
Yeah, so, Popeyes buffet.
Yeah, last year the theme was local legends, and, you know, people like Rob Perillo and Red Laurel and Sharon Moss, you know, all these guys are people that are known in the community. And then, of course, Lafayette having the last Popeyes buffet, you know, that's a pretty big local legend. So that was our focus last year. I was the mac and cheese. Laurel was a biscuit slinger.
Mm-hmm. Literally threw biscuits at people.
Like actual Popeye's biscuits.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we wanted to do with Crudic and I. We didn't want to have any kind of plastic beads or, you know, trash or litter. We really wanted people to create their own throws. And we, of course, have wooden doubloons that we make for everybody to hand out as well. So we threw biscuits. Other crews had little toy turtles. I mean, it was just a wide range of things that were unique to the specific sub crews that they could hand out and people would want to hold on to, or in our case, eat.
Yeah.
And then this year was the theme was Louisiana folklore. So we had, you know, a couple of Rougarous. We had my crew was the Kushmas, or the sleep demon. They even had things like the old Acadiana Mall. So had a lot of fun with the idea of, you know, Louisiana folklore. Two of the crews really killed it. One was they did the Legend of Karen Crow. So they had a giant mastodon float that they created and they pulled. Another one, they were voodoo dolls. And so they had just a towering voodoo doll that they were pulling that had giant pins all stuck in it.
Man.
People dressed as voodoo dolls marching with giant pin needles. It was really cool. It was a spectacle.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're like, well, so going back to Karen Crow, what's the deal with the mastodon?
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
I mean, I don't even know what the Legend of Karen Crow is, but I know they handed out sheets of paper that had the legend printed on it. So I'm going to need to read it, but I know it involves carrion crows and a mastodon that apparently carrion crows.
So like Karen Crow, carrion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Odd.
Yeah. So they had people dressed up as like buzzards, and they had the Karen Crow High Marching Band with them as well. So it was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
So one bad thing about being in the parade is you don't get to see
the parade.
Yeah.
I
didn't see that.
God. We were talking before we went live as I was picking up dinner one night. I think it was Friday night. And somebody was talking about the walking parade and how it sounded boring. And it's not a boring thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably less boring than a traditional parade, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Most of the time, the traditional parade is a float. It's got a running generator or a truck with loud, obnoxious music to it. And if you're not careful, you get hit with a bag of unopened beads. Like, first of all, why don't you open your beads? But anyway, I digress.
And you're stuck behind the barricade, so there's not a whole lot of interaction. And, you know, there's only so many times that you can see the same Spider-Man float, you know, before it just kind of starts to get a little bit repetitive. I mean, I love Lafayette Mardi Gras, but it needed something to kind of give it a little refresh. And so we kind of modeled our parade after Crew de Vue in New Orleans, which is also a walking parade that's very community-driven. And so we wanted to make sure that it was accessible to all. You know, our three, you know, values are inclusivity, creativity, and sustainability. You know, we really want to make sure that we are inclusive of everyone that our city represents, and that we are not harming the environment by, you know, just taking plastic bags and just throwing them on the ground when they're empty. And, it, you know, it's just something that we really hate seeing. And seeing downtown Lafayette, seeing Jefferson Street being completely clear of any trash the next morning is, you know, it's a testament to what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, it's probably really cool to see it not littered with trash because, you know, most people, whenever they get a neck full of beads, I don't know anybody who keeps 5 pounds of beads on their neck.
Right.
Once they're done looking like the cool guy during parade, you're probably taking some of that off and keeping like the beads you want. And where do those beads go? They get either looped around the barricades, you know, tied on, or you know, they're just laid on the street.
Yeah.
And, or in the trees. Like, there's so many trees. Even power lines. Like, I don't know how old some of these beads are, but they're old. They're faded.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the Karen Crow Parade happened Saturday. And, of course, we avoided traffic like the plague. So we waited clear after the parade to get out. And, you know, the barricades were moved. But the trash, it was just... you could tell a parade had went through, and I'm like, God, I said, I can't wait for the street sweepers to come, if there are any in Karen Crow that come. But, it's just, anyway, I think the Crew de Kanaya parade is cool. I wish I could have gone to it, but having, I had a sick kid, so, you know.
It's funny, it was very timely in that, a few of the board members, we sent an article around amongst ourselves where I think it came out recently from National Geographic that said it's time to rethink Mardi Gras in terms of the tons of plastic beads.
Yeah.
And I think they were speaking of New Orleans specifically, where they have people in, like, you know, pretty much bulldozers going down the street just collecting all these things.
I've seen the pictures. It's crazy.
It's insane. It's like this whole, you know, subculture of Mardi Gras that we don't see, all these people that are hired to clean up after it. It lets us know that we're on the right track in terms of our thinking and what we're trying to do.
Well, cool. Man, you guys have some interesting thoughts, that's for sure. And one of the interesting thoughts, and I'm not sure who's, I think it might be your interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
This is her baby.
Okay. So you obviously already know where I'm going. So you guys are creating a company that essentially creates a new type of job for people with washing machines and dryers, but specifically washing machines and doing laundry. Well, doing laundry sucks. Especially when you start having a kid, and like my kid, this couple of days he's been sick, and we've had some accidents and some vomit, and cleaning that up, it sucks. But anyway, so tell me about your idea and give us a little background of why you wanted to start this. And I didn't say the name yet. I'll give you the option.
Sure. It's called Hamper without the E. Might remind you of like a waiter, and there's a reason for that. But it is on-demand laundry. So basically, I think everybody I know has a mountain of laundry in their house at any given time. Mm-hmm. It's on the table, it's on the bed, it's on the sofa, it's somewhere. You have it, I know you do.
Everybody does.
So I hate laundry, and you're right, when you have kids, it accumulates more and more and more. And then you find that you're working all week, and then on the weekend, you're just tired, but you can't relax or have any free time because you have to do laundry.
You have to do it.
You can't get away from it, it's gotta be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. It's such a time suck. I mean, it takes up my whole day. And I remember about a year ago, it was April 13th. I came back from a business trip. And I've been hating laundry longer than this, but this is when I had my breaking point. I get back and we have T-ball for the kids. They've got birthday parties. I am sitting on my kitchen floor surrounded by loads of laundry. And I just think, no, I don't want to do this. Like, I can't. Like, when is it going to get done? And I thought, if I could, I have a friend who's a stay-at-home parent, and my mind immediately went to, I wonder if I could pay her to do my laundry. And that kind of spurred this whole thing. I was like, well, actually, there are lots of people that are home all day that might need extra income or want to make additional income, that are either stay-at-home parents, retirees, people who just can't work for whatever reason, that they could be doing laundry while they're living their life and doing other things. So I pitched the idea to one of my partners, all of my partners, and one of them really latched onto it, and that's how Hamper was born. So it is on-demand laundry. There's an app. It will be launching in April. And
that's exciting.
I'm very excited. You get hampers, and one load is a hamper. You just fill it up. Someone will come pick it up, take it home, wash, dry, fold, bring it back in 24 hours.
So it's kind of a combination delivery service as well. So like they go pick. So the person washing your clothes will go to your house or apartment, grab your hamper, essentially. Like, so who gets the hamper first? Does the person washing the clothes get the hamper first, or does the person that wants the clothes being washed have the hamper first?
It'll go. It's a year membership, and that includes four hampers. So if you were to order it, you'd get a box of four hampers. And you can use the service whenever you want, as often as you like, or as little as you like. But you'll get them. They're yours. They belong to you. Unique QR code identifying your hampers with your account. And they'll come pick it up, wash, dry, fold it, bring it back to you. You just put it away.
And the hampers are, you know, specially designed for these purposes. Like Laurel said, it fits a load of laundry. And it fits exactly a load of laundry.
What is exactly a load of laundry?
So we did a lot of research on what the average household washing machine will hold, And so we designed our hamper based on those specifications. Mm-hmm. So it will hold, you can stuff that thing, and as long as the top zips, that's a load of laundry. It will go directly into the washing machine.
Okay. Because I know when I load my washer, sometimes I get scared. I'm like, I think I have too much. And like at like the last minute of having that sense of regret, I'm like, okay. And the water's already filling up the tub, the drum. I pull out soggy clothes and I'm like, I think I have too much. And
I've gone too far.
I felt bad for the washer. I'm like, you're going to, this is going to hurt. Let me take this out for you. Aww. So, and so I kind of, my rule is like, I have the one where it has an agitator and I think that's the most common. And I put it to where it's the agitator top and like the clothes are about right here. And just enough to where I can see the last spiral part. And if I get too high after that, I'm like, God, bad decision.
Too much.
So I'm guessing, and I don't stuff. I'm not the kind of guy who pushes it down because I'm thinking of like mechanics. How much torque does it need to spin those clothes? And like you need room for the clothes to do this cycle motion.
Right.
And, but like, so in that, I guess in that sense, would that be considered a load of laundry, or would that might be too much?
Well, the bag actually is designed to hold slightly less than a full load because of that reason.
Okay,
For just efficiency. Just because of the variancy of the drum size. Yep. And so you can really stuff it, but literally, if you can't zip the top, one, it won't be picked up because it might ruin the washer's washing machine. But if you can zip the top, you're probably okay. You're safe.
Okay.
It will go. And then overstuffing, too, we caution people because you want your clothes to get clean. And if you overstuff your bag, they may just not come back as clean.
Mm-hmm. Man, so I have like so many questions and some of them may not be answered yet. But like, okay, let's just think in real life sense here. Some people are dirty. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some people, I'm struggling to go too far. So I'll just go straight to this word, and I don't think I'm gonna regret it. Skid marks. Okay, what is a washer to do? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying washer as the person who signed up to be a hamper washer person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If a washer sees that, first of all, that's a sanitation thing.
Yeah.
Like, how do you approach that? Like, what if it's stuffed inside the hamper?
So, our hampers, the way that we have them designed is they just get dumped into the washing machine. Mm-hmm. So, the washers are not doing any sorting. Gotcha. They're actually not physically touching your dirty clothes.
Gotcha.
For that reason. They just dump it in there, or if it's a front loader, they kind of just shove it in there. And I've tried this, so I know it works. And then they wash it, so that when they are actually physically touching your clothes, they are clean.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do think that majority of the people I've talked to are not putting their underwear in their hamper, because a lot of people are like, I don't want people touching my underwear.
No,
like,
yeah, that's fair.
Don't put it in there. But there will be some people that they do want their
underwear. And I don't know too many people who would have that dirty problem. if you do,
you probably know that about yourself, and maybe hamper is not.
It was a decent talk about if we were going to allow people to include their underwear in the load, and we determined that, you know, if some people are going to want every single piece of clothing washed, and so that's also one of the reasons that Lowell said that we designed it to where it's minimal contact between the actual dirty clothes and the washer themselves.
Okay. So another question, and I think I've talked to you, Rodney, about this months ago. You guys are, I guess, what are you doing as far as when somebody signs up to be a washer, are they using their own detergent?
No. They will either, so the hamper, some people are very particular about what detergent is used on their clothing, if they have allergies or anything like that. So we have two options. One is there's a pocket inside the hamper that you can include your own detergent so that your clothes are washed with what you want. Mm-hmm. If you don't include your own detergent, our washers are using Drops detergent. It is a plant-based, dye scent-free detergent that's all natural. It's a little pod. They actually invented the laundry pod. So we have a special partnership with them that our washers can get those detergent pods at a very deep discount. Mm-hmm. So that is the alternate detergent. That's the default detergent if you don't provide your own.
Okay. And so is it like a So I used the Tide Pods. Mm-hmm. My mind went straight to the Kronk commercial. Oh my god, Tide Pods. But so the pods that you guys have are I'm imagining that it's powder.
No, it's liquid.
It's a liquid. Mm-hmm. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it's probably like this dense packed white powder that seems pretty neutral. Mm-hmm. So is it a clear liquid?
It's clear. Yes. Yeah,
clear liquid. Like you said, scent free, dye free. Gotcha. It's very eco friendly. Mm-hmm. Even the packaging itself is free of plastics. So they're a very environmentally conscious company, and that's one of the reasons that we wanted to partner with them, and they were more than willing to partner with us.
Like what? So if I was to sign up to be a washer and use the pods that you guys would offer, how much would I be paying for? I guess what's the average? Like I buy the pod case, and I think there's like maybe 42 mm-hmm. loads, and I think I spend anywhere from $10 to $15 on that, depending mm-hmm. on the sale.
Yeah.
Like, how many loads or pods do you get?
So with our the way our washers would order from Drops, they have a special code, and I think the discount comes down to about 17 cents a load. So it's okay. pretty inexpensive, and you mm-hmm. really can't buy detergent in the store that cheap.
No.
Yeah.
It's 17 cents a load. I'm thinking, like, it sounds like I'm paying probably 33 to 40 cents a load buying Tide.
Yeah.
Give or take. I'm doing very rough math because I'm paying like in the nature of 13, 14 bucks, give or take, for 40 something loads, 50 loads if they have like a special container that's you get 20% more.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good though, 17
cents.
Yeah,
I looked at our detergent the other day and we use Costco mm-hmm. and you get a huge thing of it, and I think ours turned out to be like 32 cents a load. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the whole Drops model is, you know, they cut out the middleman of the grocery store. That's how they got started. So they're able to offer, you know, discounted prices to just the regular consumer. Mm-hmm. So cutting that discount even further for our washers was a huge help.
Yeah. Okay, and so, man, what other questions? Like, is there any liabilities? Like, what is what would be some of the number one concerns for someone being a washer and someone getting their clothes washed? Because, I can't think of too many other things, but, like, what if, like, a clothing item gets damaged?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's a possibility. So we have a system in place where the washer would either be able to contact us and let us know, or the user, you know, when they have it, they could say, hey, this got damaged in a picture, and we have some contingencies in place for that. I think quality is really important to us, and consistency, to make sure that when your clothes go out, you know, Jeff at home is washing them just like Mary would, and it comes back the same way. So we have a training platform that we're putting into place where it's, this is how you fold this. This is how you wash this. This is how you do this. So that everyone's doing it the exact same way.
God, this sounds so well thought out.
Thank you.
We spent a lot of time. We spent a lot of time talking about it.
It helps to have, we have a lot of people in Rally working on it. Mm-hmm. So we have basically a built-in marketing department. And then we have two other co-founders. So we have a really good base. I feel like we're ready to go.
I wouldn't expect you guys to use another marketing company for your own thing. Like, if you're confident in your skill set, I think you'd be like, hey, we're going to use ourselves because this is what's going to work.
And all the washers also, they all go through a very thorough background check as well. Mm-hmm. They go through both a driving background check and a criminal background check. So we make sure that everybody who signs on board is, they're completely vetted, and they're rewarded for their safe driving as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's a good point. Another, I guess, now that you're mentioning that, is like, how do you know that person's washing machine is even, like, safe? Because some people, they put some crazy stuff in their washing machine. Mm-hmm. And I know it all gets, you know, dissolved and it gets put down a drain, but, you know, like I said, my kid was sick, and I washed off as much as I could in the tub, like, with the shower head and, like, all the vomit. I hate to use that word. It's so nasty, but vomit. And
we've talked about skin marks and vomit. I'm sorry.
I hope that's a first.
I did not sign up for
it. It's definitely a first. I've never mentioned the word vomit or skid marks on this show yet. What's crazy is, and not to go on a tangent, but my family, I actually had the time, I put out like the stopwatch on my phone, how long it took before poop came up. Poop comes up all the time.
Why?
I don't know. It could be flatulence. It can be just, you know, how long, like, Kelly, my wife, she find it so bizarre that I spend so much time sitting on the toilet that my legs go numb.
I wrote a blog post about this for the Laughing at Mom's blog.
Well, she wrote it anonymously, so the secret's out now.
Everyone knows me. Yeah, why do you all take so long in the bathroom?
Sanctuary.
So I compare it to Kelly's bath. Kelly's bath is 45 minutes to an hour long.
So is his.
I love bathing.
Oh, wow. See, I take showers.
We use both.
So that's insane. So I take like a 15-20 minute shower. I have to, you know, sometimes longer. It just depends. But never longer than an hour because I'll drain my hot water heater. But yeah, I tell my wife, I'm like, you spend an hour in the tub. You don't spend very long on the toilet at all. Like, you drop and
very
go.
Very efficient. Very efficient.
So I that's where I do my best thinking. Like, I want to say that some of my best posts have been written on the pod.
Oh, my God.
Like, this you're hearing it right
this.
Now.
I love it.
Like, if you're reading some Developing in Lafayette stuff, some of it was probably written, especially in the early days, on the toilet. Nowadays, it's written in this building here. Not on the toilet.
I was going to say, in this toilet.
Such a revealing
goodness. What kind of therapy is going on? Anyway, back to the, that was a tangent. Back to the washer thing. Like, so you got let's say somebody has a dirty washing machine. Mm-hmm. How do you know? Like, what do
we have a review system in place that kind of self-polices mm-hmm. and self-corrects. So if your clothes come back and they're not up to par and you're leaving a negative review, that's eventually going to work itself out. That person's going to work itself out of the system.
Yeah, they're
going to
get
it. That's just how it is. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we try to vet it as best we can. We ask the make and model and year of your washing machine and your dryer, and that can either disqualify you or qualify you. And then from there, we just rely on our consumers and our users mm-hmm. to tell us, did they do a good job? Is this worth, you know... Do you want to use them again?
We also require our washers to be non-smokers, no pets. So we're taking...
Pets.
Oh, pets? Okay. Well, they can have pets, but non-smokers for sure.
Yeah, well, that'd be a big one.
Smoke contact is... Even if you wash your hands, it'll still transfer.
Yeah. Or even just in... Like, if you smoke in your house, let's say you haven't smoked in, like, a couple of hours, it's in there. Like, it's permeated.
Absolutely. And on the flip side as well, we also have to where our, you know, people having their clothes washed, that's also going to be self-policing. You mentioned damaged clothes. I mean, if you notice a trend of one person that just seems to always have a piece of clothing damaged, you know, that might be less of a problem with the washers themselves. So it's kind of self-policed on both sides of the aisle.
Interesting. Oh, I had a thought, but I can't think of it now. But man, it's a cool idea. What would be the fee? Like, let's say I want to have my clothes washed. Like you said, there's a yearly membership.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would I expect to pay? What's the premium that I expect to pay for that convenience? Do you have that worked out?
Yeah, absolutely. So the initial membership is $39 for the year, but that includes your four hampers. So you're physically getting something for that. And then if you want to do a load, one load is $10. Mm-hmm. So you're paying $10 per hamper. So if you have four loads a week, that's $40 to get your laundry done.
Yeah.
And I think if you're using this service, chances are if you really don't, first of all, if you really don't have the money, you're washing your clothes yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're someone who's pretty affluent and, you know, a busy person who's probably got a very busy life and the convenience is paramount, like that would be nothing.
Right. And I think for the majority of our users, while we don't have this information yet, we anticipate that it's going to be something they use as they need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think many people are going to use it every single week, although they might. I mean, it depends what they have going
like,
on.
What would be the cost of a maid to do it?
Right.
Well, one of our co-founders, his housekeeper does his laundry. So,
so like, you probably pay more in a week mm-hmm. per hour than you were to pay, you know, someone to come pick up your... your hamper and wash your clothes.
Absolutely.
And it's harder too to find a housekeeper that will do laundry. And if you find it, you probably have to pay a premium for that.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, because they're touching your dirty underwear.
And here we go back to
poop. It's full circle, I'm telling you. Goodness gracious. So we've talked about hamper, I think, a good bit. Like, what are some of the things that you guys do to, like, be creative? Like, what are some of the things that you guys talk about or discuss just to kind of get your creative juices going? Because I talked to my wife about some stuff, and she goes, Ben, I have no clue what you're talking about. I'm like, I'm just, like, thinking and, like, trying to get my juices flowing. She goes, I'm the wrong person to talk. I'm like, oh.
It's like our whole marriage has been like a game of improv. It's like, I'm one of this. And it's like, yes, and. And so we just kind of keep going. So we're lucky that we kind of have each other to feed off of it. But the team is really creative. Mm-hmm. Like going to work at Rally every day and nobody ever shoots down a bad idea. And it's always, you know, well, what if we do this? Or what if we try that? And we're constantly not afraid to say, maybe we're doing the wrong thing. Maybe we need to do this. And we pivot constantly. So it's really nice to be in that environment.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I like being around like-minded people. It helps me get the creative juices flowing. Because if I don't have a juicer, my day, it's like, I don't know. I like thinking about some strange things. And Friday, I think before I had to reschedule this podcast, you had posted something on Facebook talking about random things like space and goblins. I don't know. What was it?
We have weird conversations, but he was.
We had some weird conversations already.
That's true. He was watching a documentary on goblins and like they existed. It was so weird. And we had this whole conversation about goblins and I'm like, are you sure you don't mean like leprechauns? Like, no, goblins.
It's this whole, I like to, the way that I relax and stay creative is by reading and listening and watching about really weird stuff.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I was obsessed with ghosts and aliens and
death and
all kind of stuff. And so that just kind of carried over into my adulthood. So it's a documentary series on Amazon Prime called Hellier. And it's about these people who are on the hunt for what they call goblins that's related to a case that took place in the 90s in the same state where they kind of described them as goblins. It's just, it's a really weird, like, bizarre thing. Could be aliens, could be, you know, other creatures. I'm really into, you know, I don't know what I believe and don't believe, but I love falling into that world and just, you know, enjoying it without question.
Right,
there's some weird stuff out there.
Dude, there's some totally weird stuff out there. It's like the ocean. Everybody says, oh, yeah, you know, there's nothing left to be discovered. I'm like, you better keep who knows what's even in the ocean? Like, there's still stuff being discovered today. Like, weird little bugs. Like, I saw a picture of, like, a microscopic picture of what a virus looks like.
Yeah.
And it's a little stick with little legs that does this. I'm like, what? I've never seen that.
They just discovered an inch and a half long bee, which they hadn't seen for years and years. And that's a big ass bee. How do you not see that? You know, there's all kind of crazy stuff out there.
But I think I know what you're talking about. It has like some weird like chompers on it.
Yeah.
Isn't it in Indonesia only?
It's some isolated place. It's not like it's not like it's in my backyard.
My worst nemesis is the horsefly.
Oh.
Oh my god, that sucker! It's so huge. When I was a kid, my dad, I hated to mow. You need a company called Mower.
There is a company called Lawn Love or something like that.
Lawn Love?
That's funny. why didn't I think there was already something created? But back to the point, it was dead heat of summer. My dad said, you need to go mow. And I'm like, but there's horse flies outside. And I was a computer guy. I was on my computer. Like, once I turned 13 and I got my first computer, I was on it all day long. But I had to go mow. And my dad said, you need to go mow. And I'm like, but there's horse flies. And so what I did to protect myself from horse flies, I suffered. I put on long socks. I stuffed my pants inside the socks. Put on these big, like steel-toe work boots. I put on a jacket, long sleeve jacket, and I might have put on one of those like ski masks, where you know with the little holes, look like you're gonna go rob something. I was desperate to not get stung. because I've been bit by a couple of those and they drew blood, freaked me out, and they hurt when they bite. And you know, when the horses get bit, they slap the tail, you know, and their skin moves. It hurts. I suffered so bad with horse flies. I hate bugs.
Beekeeper outfit for yourself.
Yes, I need a beekeeper outfit, like mowing the grass with a beekeeper outfit.
Fencing mask on.
And then, you know, I love ghosts and everything else too. I'm still on the fence if, like, are ghosts real or not? Because my wife and I will watch the show on Travel Channel, I think it is. It's Paranormal something. It's Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans, who's a total douchebag.
But they usually are.
Yeah, but they catch some interesting stuff on that show. And I'm thinking, my wife and I will always ask ourselves, is it part of the show? Like, did they produce that? Or is it something real that they can't explain?
Well, I mean, like, I did my 7th grade social studies project on the Myrtles Plantation, and I took a picture that looks like there is a ghost in this picture. Like, it legit looks like a ghost. And again, I don't think I even really believe in ghosts in the traditional sense, but maybe it's a... I'm going to see, and this is where it starts...
This is where we get into space.
Maybe it's this weird thing where it's like a thin spot in between universes, and you're just peering in. Like, that's a scientific, quote-unquote, explanation
we're
for...
We're seeing another timeline.
Right. That's like, it could be that. I think a lot of the stuff could be explained if it does exist and if it is real by just things that we just don't understand, like bleed-throughs of other universes and crazy stuff that we're just not aware is around us.
Yeah. Like déjà vu. Yeah. Déjà vu is an interesting thing. I've had that when I was a kid. Couldn't explain it. I was like, how come I saw the same exact tree moving in the same exact direction and walking around it? How come I saw that already?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
So bizarre.
So I'm yeah, that's how I relax, is by getting stressed out
and
about
it stresses
aliens
me out.
And serial killers.
And he'll want to talk about space, and space makes me feel so tiny.
So how do you relax and get the creative juices? Doing laundry?
No, absolutely not. I don't know. I don't ever relax. I really cannot relax.
She reads.
On
she reads
all the time. I read 61 books last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she reads a ton of books. That's how she relaxes.
How I relax.
How many books do you read in comparison?
I'm typically, so if I read, it's going to be either something that's in like audiobook format or something that's like, you know, a furthering education kind of thing.
Yep.
So when it comes to those, maybe like one a month, one every other month. You know,
I read a lot more on the internet than I do.
I read a lot on the internet. So when it comes to like articles and things like that, then yeah, I read a ton.
He's always like, did you hear about this? No. If it's an internet meme or something, no. I haven't heard about it. Although I do want to do a PowerPoint on the Kardashian Jordan Woods situation so I can explain it to my coworker.
So she loves the gossip, celebrity gossip stuff.
Oh, no, it's usually involving the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Usually.
There's so many of them.
What's crazy is we started watching the old Kardashian series, like the first seasons, and it's so different.
Yeah.
They're so much more humble. They show their house, and it was a much smaller house.
Mm-hmm.
And Kylie doesn't look like she does now.
All look more normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my wife, she's like, oh, you know, when people get a lot of money and they get famous, their looks change because they're doing work to themselves to look better. I'm like, but why? They looked fine. But anyway.
She's like a totally different person.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever butt implants they have, I don't know. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching the old seasons, man, it's just totally different. But back to reading books.
Yes.
I'm not proud of this, but it's truth. I've never read a book all the way through the end.
Stop there. I've never read a book.
Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever in your whole entire life? Never, ever?
No.
Even in school?
No.
How?
My attention span and just... I did struggle with comprehension, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once I get too far, I just lose it and...
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm more like Rodney, where I'll take in, like, if I need something, if I need to learn something, I'm reading whatever internet article, whatever, you know, segment of text that I need to know to read that. And I'll look at tutorials, whether that be video or audio. Audiobooks, I'm still working on one called the Art of Getting Things Done or something like that, where it's to be organized. But to actually hold a book. a physical book with pages and read it. I think maybe in school I was forced to try to get pretty far and maybe almost halfway. And I had book reports, like book projects that I had to do. And there were a lot of times where I failed. Mm-hmm. I got zeros on them. Because I'm like, I just don't know. Like, I don't, I'm not interested in it. I had to take English 2 and 3 my senior year because I was so bad at just taking in reading books. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a kind of a position where my grammar in the beginning of doing Developing Lafayette was bad, partly because I wasn't interested in reading, but in English was tough for me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually like having to learn all my grammar and punctuations. And I'm like, God, I never, like, I think I remember learning that, but it didn't sink in. And now it's like, I know why I need this. And still to this day, I'm definitely by no means a professional writer, but every day I come across a situation, I'm like, what do I do? So I go, guess where I go? Go to Google.
Yep, absolutely.
What do I do here? And usually it autofills and like everybody has the same question. Thank God.
Yeah.
That's my story with books, man. and people make it, I make it sound like it's something like, oh yeah, I've never read a book, but I've tried.
Yeah.
It's just not thought for it was everyone.
No, I mean, it's like you're distracted. And also, I can't not finish something, even if I hate it. If it's the worst book ever, I have to finish it. It's just how I am.
I also have severe ADHD that went ADD. Undiagnosed until I was in my like mid-20s or so.
I might have it. I don't know.
So I had a very hard problem with the same thing. If it wasn't something that grabbed my attention, my mind was elsewhere in things that I did want to pay attention to.
What's crazy is a lot of creative people are kind of like that. I mean, some of them aren't, but you know, your mind just kind of...
Oh, her mind never stops. It never turns off, but...
but she one can day focus. I will burn out and it will be spectacular.
you'll be like a... what's that when a star explodes?
Supernova.
Like, there's a meme or a GIF where somebody gets their mind blown and it's like this guy with glass and he goes... And it's like a supernova exploding.
It's from Tim and Eric or something.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've... Especially, you know, as we've had kids and we keep starting these new ventures and these new projects that we get involved in, I mean, we don't really stop, but I think it's just kind of it's how I stay creative, you know, is by not stopping. Because if I stop and do nothing, I will just do nothing, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm the kind of person that can just sink into a couch and do nothing. So I keep myself busy so that way I'm always moving forward.
Yeah.
Her is just in her nature.
Yeah, I can't sit.
I can sit.
So he can't do Dylan and Felicia.
Look, like, yeah, I definitely can't.
You didn't get off.
Look,
that couch.
I mean, come on, look, we can't get off the toilet. Look, we were done with our business the first 15 minutes.
Oh, I know.
But absolutely. Like the next 45
one of my
minutes,
friends was like, turn off the Wi-Fi. I'm like, he's got unlimited data.
So do I.
It'll just ruin me.
And look, the Wi-Fi is not the greatest in the bathroom too. So I'm like, a lot of times I'm like, turn off Wi-Fi, back on data.
You need to get off the toilet.
You know what?
It can't be healthy.
I'm going to end this episode on get off the toilet.
Get off the toilet.
You know what? That's great. I really appreciate this. This was fun. We're almost at an hour. We're at 54 minutes. It doesn't even feel like it.
I know.
We're at 30 minutes. I'm like, okay.
Better talk about poop.
We're
break out the big guns.
Talk about poop. Oh, God. This is going to be the only episode where we talk about poop.
I'm glad I've been a part of it.
God. Me too.
I'm honored.
Dude, this is great. Oh, my God. Okay. Laurel, Rodney, Hess, thank you. Rally Marketing and Hamper, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you
for having us.
And this is The Tea.
For information on sponsoring The Tea podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click advertise.